You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Sunday's Racing Podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack and I'm joined by Rory Delahi. Rory, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm not at all bad, Jack. Thank you.
Good, good. You've just witnessed the Tingle Creek. We are recording this after the main event on Saturday. What a finish.
Barely time to get your breath back. It was grandstand stuff. Easy enough to start picking holes in it after the event, but it gave us a tremendous finish. And Ruby Walsh lifted Honda So across the line after he'd put in a slightly disappointing round of jumping. Looked like he'd given it away by not seeing a stride at the last, but he rallied to get up and beat Sarah DeGruzzi again. But the others were beginning to close him down from that point. And, there are lots of ways of analysing the race, and they've gone hard enough. Armad's setting it up in the first place, the big guns chasing him, and then maybe taking themselves out of the comfort zone. And the outsiders, those who were behind, or God's Own, who closed up really well. He made a bad early mistake and was seemingly out of contention, but they've closed up well from the last. And indeed, even the rank outsider wasn't beaten very far in the end.
A really good race on Saturday afternoon. You've obviously been in the Racing Radio studio throughout the afternoon. There's been some great racing. If you can summarise fairly swiftly, what else has caught your eye?
Well, we also had the Henry VIII at Sandown with Altior shortening up as favourite for the Arkle on the basis of his easy win there. Again, his jumping wasn't absolutely perfect. The better round of jumping on the whole from Charbel, but Altior travelled really strongly in behind and was just about to grab Charbel when that horse ran down the last fence and presented the race to the favourite. But he showed a very sharp turn of foot from the last to put distance between himself and the others, and it was a very smart performance. If he can just fine-tune his jumping, he's got a massive chance of following up his supreme win come March.
Yeah, really impressive performance from Altior. Plenty more to come as well before Christmas. Plenty more great racing, but we're going to focus on action from Huntingdon and Kelso on Sunday. Just to let you know, by the way, as I said, we are recording this podcast on Saturday afternoon. There is an inspection at Kelso at 8 a.m. It is only precautionary. Frost sheets have been deployed, so they're hoping to go ahead there. Also, you'll be able to hear the Irish Racing Podcast with some terrific racing at Fairy House. Andy Holding will cover that on Sunday. Just to let you know, going change there. Yielding, good to yielding in places is what's been given now at the time of recording. Right, OK, we're going to take a look at Kelso, but we're going to start with Huntingdon. And the 1 o'clock is the first race that we are going to take a look at. Rory, what do you make of this particular race? It is a chase, and it's over the 2 miles.
Yeah, I suspect that Bishop's Court, representing Neil Mulholland and Noel Feely, will start a reasonably warm order for this, but he's a horse I want to take on. Again, you need to know what kind of prices you're going to get, but he was an eye-catcher on his chase debut. He's a horse who travels very strongly in his races anyway, and he was set to go reasonably close. I think he was just beaten when he came down at the last at Sedgefield, and plenty of people would have noticed that. And given that Neil Mulholland has been in very good form this autumn, they'll be keen to back Bishop's Court. But I've watched him quite a lot, and he travels really strongly but doesn't get home in his races. There's a little bit of a hole in him. So again, I expect him to travel to look like the winner at some stage, but I think he may prove vulnerable in the finish. I'm assuming it's going to be a short price. The tricky thing with this race is the back by Midnight is in there as well, who's got a great chance in the form he showed when winning at Sandown yesterday. But you have to think he's liable to be a non-runner in this, given that was less than 48 hours.
There's a few, isn't there, that I've spotted across the cards that are declared again.
Yeah, there are a lot of horses who've been given a lot of entries this week because of frost and stuff like that. And you know, you don't want to miss out on the chance of a run. But Back by Midnight did the did the business at Sandown, and that, you know, the meeting had to pass an inspection. So it makes sense that they were declaring the horse for the weekend as well. They would have declared for Sunday on Friday. So I expect him to become a non-runner, but you never know. You know, Emma Baker might get him home and think, well, he's bucking and kicking. He might as well turn him out again. And if he does, then that changes the shape of the race. But he's a doubtful runner at this stage, it has to be said. I'm going to take a chance on this and on an unexposed one, a young horse called Double Treasure of Jimmy Snowden's. He's booked Nick Schofield for the ride. He's yet to jump a fence, but he's got the pedigree that suggests that he will he'll be all right in this sphere. And he ran his best race over hurdles at Exeter last time out. Only finished sixth in a field of 11, which doesn't look hugely promising, but he was beaten seven lengths, and that was his handicap debut, and he was noted doing good late work, having taken a bit of a hold. I'm hoping horses who can take a pull over hurdles are often better suited by fences, because it just gives them something to occupy their minds. You know, jumping a fence can help them settle a little bit more than a hurdle would do. So his strong pulling tendencies are a little bit of a concern, but he's better than 108 horse from what I've seen of him, and hopefully this is the time he gets to deliver. So he should have this set up for him. Hopefully there'll be a reasonably strong pace. There's a few in here who've made the running in the past. Again, if Back by Midnight ran, that would be terrific, because he's a front runner, but we're not entirely sure about how that will pan out. But Double Treasure looks like he's going to be a reasonable price, because you know, he's only finished sixth last time out, but I thought that was as good a run as he'd shown on his previous start when runner-up at Exeter. Clearly goes well right-handed as well. All his best runs have come this way round, so he gets the vote in what's a trappy race.
Double Treasure then in the 1 o'clock at Huntingdon. Half an hour later, we have a handicap hurdle, class three this one, and it's under the 2 miles. What do we make of this one?
I fancy one at a big... Well, what I expect to be a big price here. You never know. Whenever you're doing these races before the prices come out, you assume you're going to get big prices, and they don't always pan out that way.
Occasionally they'll catch you out, won't
they? Yeah, Exitas makes his debut for Alex Hales. His form figures from last season make fairly mixed reading. Pulled up on his reappearance and pulled up on his final start, and never got within 10 lengths of the winner in any of his starts last season. But he started last year very high in the weights, having done well for Phil Middleton the previous year, as wide margin winner at Sandown and Background. And he's now on a workable mark. He's gone to Alex Hales. Alex has a very good record bringing horses back from absence, so the fact that he's been off for 260 days is not a negative from this yard. You're not sure whether he's simply gone at the game, but I think he was just... You know, he was too high on the weights and he had a couple of bad experiences early on, and that made it difficult for him last year. Now they're starting a new season against weaker opposition. I think he could easily bounce back. I remember, oddly enough, and this is not a pointer to his chances tomorrow, but it's Peter Burchase Day at Huntingdon. I saw his dam win a 3 mile, 4 furlong handicap chase on Peter Burchase Day 14 years ago.
Right, okay.
And yet Exitas doesn't stay beyond 2 miles, which is very odd given his pedigree. But I think he'll... he'd prefer the ground to be very soft. Obviously, the advanced going description is good to soft. But I think he'd be happy enough on it. And, you know, this is weaker than the races he ran in most of last season.
Yeah. There's a few, actually, with plenty of time off, isn't there, in this race? So 260 days, I suppose, doesn't look too bad, especially if Alex Hales is good with bringing horses back.
Yeah.
That's the 1:30 at Huntingdon. And you mentioned the Peter Burchase there. Well, that's up next. It's over the 2 miles and 3 furlongs, as always. And Joss's Hill is likely to go off as the favourite here.
Yeah, it looks that way. Get Joss's Hill, more of that. Dodging Bullets at the head of the market. I think there's questions for all of those to answer. Joss's Hill was impressive enough at Kempton last night. It was a two-horse race, though, and his issue has always been that his jumping hasn't held up in biggish fields. It's not a huge field for the Peterborough, but I think... Kempton give him all the time in the world to measure his fences, and he doesn't tend to go forward. He goes up in the air quite a lot, and he's overbowled at times, and he did this time last year. He ran the Tingle Creek and took an absolutely crashing fall. He had no idea what to do when meeting one of the fences down the back, and just ran into the bottom of it. So I'm loath to back him at a short price for all. You know, he may just be getting his act together now. I can't back more of that given his issues. You know, he's got wind problems, and he's got he breaks blood vessels. John O'Neill says the reason he breaks blood vessels is because of his wind issues, that it puts so much pressure on his lungs. He's got a hell of a lot of class, but given his problems, you can't back him at short odds either. And Dodging Bullets ran an absolute stinker last time out, and the questions about whether he's quite the horse he was. He's had his issues as well. And I end up coming back to T for Two, who would like an extra couple of furlongs here. But I'm hoping he's going to get an aggressive ride from Lizzie Kelly. Of course, Grade 1 winner over Fences as a novice last season. And unlike the horses we've mentioned, he's got more improvement to come. And I think he was given a fairly aggressive ride by Lizzie when running at Ascot on his reappearance. That was a tough enough contest and growing quick enough for him. I think he'd be seen to better effect with that run behind him. And while it's short enough this trip, I expect Lizzie will have him sit him just behind the pacemaker or maybe make the running herself. And he's a better horse when he's ridden aggressively. She won the Lanzarote Hurdle at Kempton on a couple of seasons ago when she made virtually all the running, and he jumped boldly that day. And the more he's asked, the better he jumps. So at the prices, he gets the vote from me.
Okay, T for Two then in the Peterborough. That's at 2 o'clock at Huntingdon. Right, final race we're going to look at then. We head north to Kelso. Like I said, inspection at 8, but very precautionary. The 150 will hopefully go ahead. The 15 going this over the 2 miles.
Yeah, it's not an easy race to unpick, but I'm inclined to take a chance on Caius Marcius. I don't know what kind of price he's going to be. Given his profile, he might be short. But Nicky Richards, who trains, he's got a couple in the race, also got top weight, one for Hockey. Caius Marcius is only getting a pound from that one, but he's thoroughly unexposed. He's won 2 of his 3 in novice hurdles this season. And while the handicapper has asked him a bigger question here, he's been running against better horses early in his career. He was 5th in a listed bumper at Cheltenham last November, surrounded by graded class horses that day. And when you compare the horses he was finishing in front of that day with the horses he's racing against here, he does rather stand out. And, you know, he does need to strictly improve on the form he's shown in winning small novice hurdles. But I think that's given him the perfect grounding, and he should find the improvement needed to win this.
OK, so there we are. That's the selection, Caius Marcius in the 150 at Kelso. So just quickly recap your selections. It was Double Treasure in the 1 o'clock at Huntingdon. Who did you go for in the 130?
Exitas, I'm hoping, is going to be a big price. I'd be disappointed if he ends up being single figures. But he's a very interesting one if he is put in at like 14 to 1 or bigger for that.
And then T for Two?
T for Two would be the main hope in the best race of the day, the Peterborough. And finishing off with Caius Marcius in the handicap hurdle at Kelso.
Indeed. So there are all of Rory's selections. Thank you very much for your company. The Racing Podcast will be back for Monday here at William Hill. Don't forget, all the podcasts are available at the website. Click on the news page.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.